Good afternoon, and welcome to the last session of our conference, the Kuwait Programme on Development, Globalisation, Development Governance and Globalisation, Gulf States. That is our brand, that is our branding, and we are delighted that you all came. I think the quality of the papers has been absolutely excellent overall. I've rarely been to a conference where the papers have been so consistently good. But because it's late and we have buses to catch and other things to do, I've decided to cut my closing statement that was to be 1 hour to just 2 hours. Actually, to 10 minutes. And then it will be followed by a second speaker to represent KFAS and to close the session. So we will try and keep this to no more than 30 minutes. I want to focus just my final remarks on some of the research issues that emerged in the course of the last 2 days. My aim is to set out some of the core topics that might be pursued in future research. What emerges are just my suggestions from listening to most of the papers and most of the discussion, suggestions to which, of course, I hope you will respond, since we're cutting this session short, not today, but in emails and communications with everyone from the LSE and KFAS side of this conference. We welcome your suggestions. And the point of this is not only to help define the program of the Kuwait project for the next several years, but also to embed what we learn from you and the feedback from you in future conferences, workshops, public lectures, and so on. So let me just emphasize again that I thought the papers were absolutely fantastic, and it isn't my job now to summarize them, but just to highlight it's what seems to me some of the striking issues that we need to think about going ahead, and I'll do that. We shall write to all the paper givers and ask you to contribute your PowerPoint presentations to our website. We will ask you perhaps to contribute a written form of your paper if you're willing so to do. We intend sometime next year to publish a book called The Transformation of the Gulf. One might actually call it The Great Transformation of the Gulf, Economics, Politics and Culture, simultaneously in English and Arabic. This will bring together not just some of the best papers at this conference, but some of the major research papers we have been working on at the LSE over the last 18 months or more. So we will be following up this with emails and calls and so on. The topics for future research that seem to me to come out of the last 2 days fall into at least three core areas: governance questions, models for development questions, and the changing geoeconomic and geopolitical context of all of this. So let me start with what seem to me some of the striking governance questions which remain somewhat unresolved, or at least open for further analysis and debate. The first of these seems to me was this: that the Gulf countries comprise a complex array of political systems now under strain in various ways. In Kuwait and elsewhere, for instance, there are many tensions between newcomers to citizenship, established citizens, and some migrant groups. What this calls for, I think, is a much more detailed knowledge of Gulf political regimes, their parliaments, and how their constitutions actually function. A comparative study of elections, parliaments, and parliamentary functions seems particularly pressing. Secondly, migrant policy. To what extent, one might ask, are the role of migrants and the development of policies concerning migration country-specific issues, as they're often treated, or regional-specific issues, as they're sometimes treated, or actually global questions? And linked to this, one might also ask, to what extent can and should the GCC countries align their thinking in these pressing and rather important and sometimes controversial areas with wider global political debates? One has the impression, certainly at the moment, that some of the debates within the Gulf area on these issues are not aligned to wider global debates, and it's interesting to think why that's so and to explain it. Three, and in turn, it seems to me to follow and connected to all of this, we should ultimately ask, can the Gulf political regimes be understood sui generis, or systems in themselves, to borrow a little bit from Barry Bazan, or perhaps should we always see these systems as constituted by or embedded in the interception of the domestic and external, i.e. nations conditioned by and shaped by wider historical geo-economic and geopolitical forces and processes. Turning now to models of development and economic questions, five seem to me to require further discussion in the future and further commissioned research. What model of capitalism should the Gulf look to? Western, especially the Anglo-American, now of course under heavy fire, the Asian, perhaps the Chinese, now much more lauded than it was in the past, or the Islamic, Sharia-compliant capitalism. How will these different models and potential clashes between these models be pursued, perhaps combined, resolved, thought about in the future? These are big and serious questions at a time in which certainly the Anglo-American model of capitalism is somewhat discredited. Second, diversification strategies. We've had an excellent paper on diversification strategies, but it can be developed. You know, what works, what doesn't work, and why exactly, and under what conditions, with what consequences for stability, growth, and above all, perhaps, the well-being of populations, which is, after all, the point of all these strategies in the first place. Third, what role, and what might it be, can the Kuwait state play, and the related states in the area, in relation to the current global financial crisis, and in the debate about the future of the IFIs, the international financial institutions, and ultimately the multilateral order? The Gulf is extraordinarily well positioned as a hugely wealthy area to contribute to debate about the future of the multilateral order. Will it? And if so, how? The multilateral order, as we know it since 1945, is, to quote the former Prime Minister Tony Blair in one of his more memorable and true statements, no longer fit for purpose. If that is the case, and it seems broadly to be the case, with a power structure in it frozen from 1945, how will we reshape these institutions, with what systems and flows of funds, with what levels of accountability, with what types of representation? It seems to me a country and a region as powerful as the Gulf has a very significant contribution to make here. Moving on, fourthly, what are the pluses and minuses, of course, of a single currency for this area, now postponed? What are its institutional requirements, and are these in an area like the Gulf feasible? With what impact? And finally, under this heading, in connection to Howard Davis's presentation on sovereign wealth funds, why are these exactly different to the FDI of large multinational corporations? Why are they controversial in the West, but less so elsewhere? And under what conditions do we need to specify for them to be more acceptable in the West and, of course, in the East as well? Because these issues are controversial, not just in Europe and elsewhere, but in the Asian regions as well. And finally now, turning on to geo-economic and geopolitical contexts and their changes, we need to better understand a few things. Clearly, the changing balance of power in the Middle East and its implications for security, so wonderfully analysed this morning. I wasn't at the session this afternoon, but no doubt it was well analysed there as well. We need to take on board the old Washington joke that goes back as far as 2005-06, when it was said already in Washington at that time, quote, the war in Iraq is over, Iran won. That needs to be weighed pretty heavily. Post the war in Iraq, as one almost is, there are clear geopolitical victors in the area, Iran, Turkey, Israel, new dynamic non-state actors, Hamas, Hezbollah, among others, and a wider geopolitical context impinging all the time. Secondly, the spillover of Shiite-Sunni tensions into geopolitics, with all its risks to stability, borders, and conflicts, needs much further analysis. Three, the future of nuclear weapons and the question of nuclear proliferation. This is very pressing, because for the world as a whole, there are several countries on the threshold of nuclear capacity, and the question will no longer be about nuclear proliferation, because the world will be proliferated, as it were. And this is a question, a challenge of nuclear proliferation. It's not just a question, of course, for this region or for Iran, but for the West. Because the old arguments that some powers have a legitimate entitlement to these weapons and others don't, doesn't look like a persuasive set of arguments to move towards a world where weapons of mass destruction are contained, if not eliminated. Fourthly, the rise of Asia and the emergence of new geoeconomic and geopolitical partners and the implications of all this for the Gulf, which was again very well discussed earlier today. How might and can the Gulf countries be repositioned in these new circumstances? Will it be the Asian century, or will that be exaggerated? Finally, climate change and the rising challenge of sea levels, among other things, which was also mentioned. What is and will be the GCC contribution to the global debate on these issues and the implementation of new policies, the contribution to the actual post-Copenhagen implementation of whatever is agreed there as a new global deal? In particular, with an area as heavily concerned with oil as this obviously is, what are the scientific, political and legal conditions for carbon capture and sequestration, and what can the Gulf contribute here? In my understanding of these issues, that the experiments in carbon capture are still rather thin on the ground. We do not have anything close to a viable commercial model of carbon capture and sequestration. Some might disagree, but most of the large oil companies that I've spoken to think we are not close to a commercial model. And if we are to ask the Chinese to stop bringing on new coal-fired power stations every 2 weeks, we'll have to persuade them that there is a technology there to either deal with the carbon emissions that follows from them, or alternative technologies that can actually replace them. At the moment, this looks quite a difficult argument to make. In conclusion, the GCC countries are being transformed, obviously, by massive social processes and forces. Perhaps it's the end of the day, we're all tired, I can put it very simply. Is this a moment where we're witnessing, as it were, the decline of the West and the rise of Asia, all constrained and squeezed by the emergence of new global challenges from financial risks to climate change, which the multilateral order was never designed to cope with in the first place? These are very major, significant moments in history, it seems to me, where the West, which has basically written the rules for the last 200 to 300 years, will find it much less easy to write the rules going into the future. And the failure of Doha, it seems to me, negotiations of the Doha round, is one example of that, where the West, certainly in Doha, the United States and the EU, came with delegations of 500 each to try and sew up negotiations going forward. And what they found is that the voice had been discovered by other powerful emerging economies that certainly had the power to say, we won't accept this deal, but not yet the power to say what the alternative deal on the table should be. These are moments of great transformation. And how will the GCC countries be repositioned in this context? That is the great question, or at least one of them. Answers to me by email, please. Not more than one paragraph, otherwise I won't read them. Thank you very much, and thank you, KFAS.
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, scholars and researchers, on behalf of Kuwait Foundation for Advancements of Sciences, the board member and the Director General, Professor Ali Al-Shamlan, I would like to express our special appreciation for the excellent efforts extended by the Kuwait program at the London School of Economics and Political Science and organizing this remarkably successful first conference of Kuwait Program for Development, Governance and Globalization in the Gulf States. We are grateful to the participants, scholars, for their outstanding efforts that have led to the success of the conference. Indebtedness also extended to all our guests who have attended this event. Nevertheless, KFAS Kuwait International Office ought to have special gratitude for their complement task and efforts. We are greatly thankful to His Excellency Dr. Mohammed Al-Sabah, the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs, for his enlightening speech during the last night dinner, and to Sir Howard Davis, the LSE Director, for his patronage, attendance and participation in the conference. And to his brilliant remarks at the opening ceremony, in light of the current financial crisis, Sir Howard Davis designed designated the need to introduce some sort of social contract between the state and the private sector in order to redefine the state role in markets economy. We are thankful to Mr. Badr Mshari Al-Humaydi, the ex-finance minister, for his significant and informative opening remarks and his call upon GCC authorities to expand efforts toward the reinforcement, consolidation and support of the region's private sectors. Professor David Held, the director of Kuwait Program, ought to have special gratitude for his exceptionally observable role in accomplishing this well-arranged conference and for chairing the plenary session. Gratitude as well as appreciation is also extended to His Excellency Dr. Yusuf Al-Ibrahim, the economic advisor at the Emiri Diwan, Mr. Sulaiman Al-Mutawwa, the ex-minister of planning and founder of the Institute for Private Education and Training, Dr. Eva Maria Nag of LSE, and Dr. Muhammad Al-Rumayhi, the professor of political sociology at Kuwait University, the author of several books on regional issues, and the editor-in-chief of the Daily Awan, for chairing the diverse sessions and workshop of the conference. The experienced speakers at the plenary session, Globalization and the Gulf, provided the conference with excellent, well-balanced takeoff. Professor Goss of the University of Vermont showed the audience that the GCC present integration into the world's economy differs from the past one only in degree but not in kind. Professor Losiani of the Gulf Research Center at Geneva warns us that the Gulf business activities are excessively fragmented and called for reorganization and to speed up the economic, financial, and monetary integration. While Mr. Hutton of the Work Foundation of the United Kingdom guided the audience into a magnificent journey to explore challenges and prospects for the Gulf economies. On the domestic and global implications of sovereign wealth funds, Sir Davis, after showing exciting data on the development of these funds, has anticipated an upcoming overheat debate on the issue in key industrial nations. Professor Danny Gua, head of the economics department at the LSE, presented a brilliant, optimistic view on the opportunities brought about by the current global sitting, which is the outcome of earlier flood of cheap credit. Dr. Silvana of LSE presented a well-structured paper and model on volatility, diversification, and development in GCC. The session on global security in a changing world was remarkably well-balanced and extraordinarily informative. Professor Ahtishami, head of the School of Government and International Affairs at Durham University, magnificently analyzed an interrelationship between the Middle East instability and international forces, and showed the continuous search of regional actors for mechanisms for coping with the security fallout after or from September 11, on the one hand, and the rise of new kind of regional multipolarity on the other. Professor Bozan of LSE has skillfully presented the Gulf sub-conflict issue from global and regional perspective as the basic structure of the Middle East regional security remains unchanged except for some minor shift, and called for urgent need to look after the regional mounting environmental concern. Dr. John Daran, political analyst and academic author, shed lights on the Gulf-Asia region relations and mounting major shifts of Gulf wealth, investments, trade and economic ties with the West, from the West to the East, China and India role in the region, and factors that could condition such role. The parallel workshop on governance and development in the Gulf on the one hand and the regional security issue on the other hand were rich and instructive, as the expert speakers shared their brilliant thoughts with the audience from different and diverse perspectives. Therefore, special thanks is ought to be extended to Professor Thatcher of the LSE, Professor Wilson, Director of Postgraduate Studies at Durham University School of Government and International Affairs, Dr. Rawaf, the Senior Researcher at the Gulf Research Center in Dubai, my colleague, Professor Al-Shaiji of Kuwait University, the head of the American Studies Unit, Dr. Olesjan of LSE, and Dr. Visser from the Norwegian Institute of International Affairs. I also would like to inform you that the audio version of the conference presentations will be available on the Kuwait program website. Additionally, between 15 to 20 research papers on regional issues will be also published soon in a book format. Main remarks and policy recommendations of this conference will be prepared and sent to all policymakers as well as participants. Finally, yet importantly, our gratitude, gratefulness goes to our audience for their active participation, comments and remarks. We hope to meet you all in the next LSE Kuwait program conference. Thank you very much.